There was an old evangelist that came to our, I think it was Spiritual Life Week, and he's been around the block. I think he's been an evangelist just about every, I forget what his name is. I'm terrible with names, so I forget his name. But he had a saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And he had a way of saying that that was memorable. I don't remember his name, but I remember that. Okay? And he repeated it often and long. And so this is maybe a similar message this morning. I had kind of two sermons I was thinking of, wasn't sure what to preach on. And Kevin said, he texted me yesterday, and he said, God will show you which one you're supposed to preach on. And so I thought, well, I'm going to switch here. And I told Hosanna that. She says, oh, you're one of those preachers. All right. Anyhow. So yes, I probably will be one of those preachers that switches in the middle of his study. That's probably going to be my tack. We're going to start this morning by thinking about John the Baptist. Turn to Luke 3, 1 through 14. Luke 3, 1 through 14. I find it fascinating that Jesus sent his disciples out to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to preach repentance before they knew the whole story of salvation. They did not know that Jesus was going to die and rise again. Okay? They did not know that. They thought that something else was going to happen. But they had a message that Jesus wanted them to preach, and it was, I think, fairly similar to John the Baptist and what he preached. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of the Lord came to John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. Now, that doesn't sound like it's very important, but it points out something very important. This was a historical event, okay? This was a historical event. It happened, and here are all the people that were there when it happened, okay? The Bible is not a fairy tale or a myth that happened sometime in the foggy past. This happened in a place and time. If you would have been alive then, you would have known all the people he was talking about, all right? This happened, all right? I used to wonder why this stuff is in the Bible. How's that going to help me get to heaven, as Alvin Jones likes to say? All right, is this for real? That's why. It's just history. It's not a myth. It's not something we talk about as, oh, something foggy and amazing. This is actually what happened. Okay, that's why all this stuff is in here. So John the Baptist, he came into all the country round about Jordan, preaching the baptism and repentance for the remission of sins. As is written in the book of words of Isaiah, the prophet saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So the people are interested in this. They said, well, what should we do? How do we get our lives in order? And he answers and says to them, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. Let him give him a coat. He that has meat and has more than he needs, let him give to somebody else. Let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized and said to him, my master, what shall we do? Now, the publicans were bad people, all right? They were hated. They were evil people. In fact, I'm not sure if publicans were even allowed in the synagogues because they were so evil, all right? They would cheat. Everybody knew that. They would always cheat. John didn't tell them to stop being publicans. Maybe that was the only thing they had to do. He told them to change, all right? Master, what do we do? Publicans said. And he says unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. The soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, What shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts, whether he were the Christ or not, he says, No, I'm not. I'm baptizing you with water, but somebody's coming after me. And we do like to talk about Jesus, and I want Jesus to be here, but we have to remember that before we get to the message of salvation, we have to start with a message of repentance, right? We've got to lay the foundation for salvation, and the foundation has to be solid, all right? And today, I'm not going to talk much about Jesus. I'm not going to talk about the plan of salvation, but I am going to talk about repentance. All right, we have got to start there. If we don't start there, the plan of salvation doesn't mean anything to us. We have got to start with what we did wrong, how we're going to change, and accepting that plan. All right, let's go to Romans 3, 10 through 23. Romans 3, 10 through 23. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. There, I just looked up this morning. There's almost 9 or 8 billion people in the world. None. Yeah, none. None that understands, none that seeks after God. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, the poison of poisonous snakes, okay? Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. For even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. All. All right? That is the phrase today that I'm going to hammer, is for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sounds like a depressing verse, and it kind of is, in some ways. But it's actually a good verse in many, many, many ways, okay? And so I want to explore, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When John the Baptist was preaching, he cut a funny figure. I look a little funny sometimes because I don't really care how I look enough. I probably should care more, but I don't. And John the Baptist has this meat blown out of the water, all right? He is completely different. He had the roughest clothes and he ate the cheapest stuff, okay? He didn't care. And besides that, he didn't have a city ministry. I was listening to I was in Sunday school with Richie Lauer one time. He said, he did not really follow Clayton Shanks' advice. Clayton Shanks says, if you want to reach people, you go to the city. But John the Baptist didn't do that, all right? He started out in the middle of nowhere, and people were interested. They listened to him, and they would go tell their friends, and they would come listen. And crowds of people came out to hear this kind of crazy guy preach. But his words had fire. They went down into their souls, and it changed them. People felt convicted of their sin, and they repented, and they said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to change. I don't want to be evil and dirty in the sight of God. I want to be clean. And John gave them practical advice for how to get from where they were to where they needed to be so that they could be accepted by God and they were ready for the next step. And I want us to feel that too. There are several reasons for why we need to hear a call to repentance. One is that us older Christians who have been Christians for a long time sometimes get a little crud built up in our life, and we need to hear that God doesn't want sin in our lives. We need to hear that. The other side is we're growing up little sinners all the time, and sometimes they need to hear it. I had to hear it when I was young. Where does evil start? It starts in our own hearts. Even the hearts of little children who've been grown up in really good homes, in balanced, stable godly homes, they still need to hear this stuff, that sin starts here, all right? We have all sinned. There's blessing and deliverance in this statement. There's condemnation and failure to us in this statement. This is true. We all have sinned. And sometimes we like to split it out. We like to split out the all. Sometimes we focus on too much on one group or the other. This verse, for all have sinned, does not add in several things that we like to add into that thing. Sometimes we like to add in, well, native Bradfordians have sinned more. Or this group color of people tends to sin more. Or these other things. People that are not me. It doesn't say that. The Bible says, all have sinned. You and me, everybody around us, all. We all have sinned. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sometimes we think, well, my family is worse than everybody else. I am worse than everybody else. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but nobody else has. Sometimes we think that everybody else is up here, and me, my family's down here, and I'm actually down here even. Like, I'm worse than everybody else. But the joy and this blessing of that statement is, we all have sinned. We are all at the same level at the cross. There's an old saying that I used to kind of ponder over and didn't know very much about, and it said, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. I didn't understand that, but it's an old saying that was used quite a bit, and I understand it now. When you come to Jesus with your sins and your problems, you come right alongside the generals and the mayors, the successful business owners, the thieves, the liars, the prostitutes. It's all the same, all right? It's all the same, for all have sinned. There are not special families who have sinned more. There are not special people who are more sinful than the next person. John the Baptist preached this stuff. He taught that we all have sinned. He taught that we all have to repent. And some people wanted to hear it. Some people loved to hear it. They were lifted up by hearing it because there were people who looked down on them. And John said, we're all sinners. Now the people who had got benefits from listening, from pushing other people down, they don't want to hear that. And I'm reading a book right now called How to Win Friends and Influence People, and it's a good book. I would recommend it. It's not nearly as smarmy and odd as it sounds, How to Win Friends and Influence People, but John didn't use their tactic, okay? This is not a How to Win Friends and Influence People kind of book, all right? He says, generation of vipers, what are you doing here, all right? And some of them heard it. Nicodemus was from that elite group, and he went to Jesus and said, how do I be saved, all right? There were people who heard this, but not very many. Most of the time, it was the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the soldiers and those kind of people that said, I'm a sinner and I want to be fixed. I want to know something different. Young ladies who were tired of their sin had a place of starting over. Tax collectors who had cheated their way through years of deception and shame now had a clean start. Soldiers, kind of like policemen today, who had bullied and harassed their people and whined for better wages to their bosses, now had the chance to peacefully serve day in and day out. This was not a pain-free repentance, nor does God call us to a pain-free repentance. But it was doable and practical. I think we need this message here too. We need a place of renewal and refreshment. We need a place to start clean. We need to remember that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all right? All of us, everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. There's another place to get off on this, all have sinned. And one is to say that since we all have sinned, then I don't need to change. All right? Since I'm the same as everybody else, then I don't have to do anything different. All right? All I have to do is point out the sin of others, and I can be comfortable where I'm at. No big deal. We all have sinned. No big deal. All right, that's cutting it short. What's the whole phrase? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what it is. It's we're all sinners in the eyes of God. We need the whole statement. In fact, we have sinned. Awful, legitimate, terrible sin. All right? Out of the heart of man springs all kinds of things. Covetousness, idolatry, swearing. All right? Sometimes just pride, arrogance. When we compare ourselves to God, we don't see how good we are. We look and we see how bad we are, right? That's not helpful. Now, I have a story of repentance in my life. Now, this is not the only time I've repented, of course, but it was a time of real rejuvenation and acceleration in my life. When I was young, really young, I used to ask my mom about how do I become a Christian. And she said that God would tell me and I would know when he was calling me. And I was scared. I was scared I would miss that call. All right? I think she could have done a little bit more to reassure me, but she did. She tried to reassure me that I was safe where I was. And it's hard sometimes for children not to be scared. Sometimes they have phobias, and that was probably my problem. But I remember sleeping through a revival service and waking up in the back, and what is going on at the end of the service? And when I went out back to hang out with my friends, one friend said, yeah, I would have gone up, but I went up at boys camp. What are you talking about? And something's different here. I felt like something was stirring in my heart. And I remember thinking, I think this is God calling me. And so I talked to my dad in the barn the next morning, and we prayed, and I was a Christian. And I joined the church, and I lived pretty clean for a little while. But then I got older, and the temptations of sexual fantasies and that kind of stuff started to take over. And I just kind of went hog wild. I was a little Mennonite boy. I went on a bus to school, and my friends kind of all thought and talked the same way. We had our little jokes. It was bad, all right? It was bad, all right? My thought processes were dirty. My ways of relating were self-centered, even though I knew how to hide it and I was just a person, okay? But Claire Long actually had Spiritual Life Week at Maranatha, which is where I went to school, for a week. And that was a real turnaround in my life. I decided during Spiritual Life Week when I was 15 years old that I was done with that old way of living and I wanted to live a new life and be right with God. I was inspired by his talks. And I remember standing up and giving testimony, and I felt like I was the only person in the whole school that did that. I'm not sure if that was true or not. The next summer, I went on a trip on a bicycle trip in Colorado. And I had been working for my dad on the farm, and things were not going so good. I was not very happy with my dad. I was pretty rebellious. And again, although you wouldn't have seen that, it was really inside me. It was really bottling up. And I don't know if the older ones remember the Trails program in Canada with NYP. This bike trip was kind of modeled after that. It was basically put 10 boys on bikes with enough supplies for 5 or 6 days. And the counselors went along, but they didn't say much. They gave you a devotional at the beginning and basically made sure you didn't kill yourself. All right? And we followed a route through, and somebody was a leader every day. And so anyhow, one day we had, about the middle of the trip or a little bit past, we had a Thanksgiving day. It was supposed to be our Thanksgiving day. It was our theme of Thanksgiving. And that day, we were a little damp because it rained every day in Colorado during the summer, which never happens. But anyhow, It rained on our bike, and we were all a little damp, but we were going downhill all that morning. And they pulled us off at the, said, let's stop. So we stopped. And they said, today was a Thanksgiving day, but nobody's been thankful. All I hear is grumbling. And we are going to stop, and you're going to go out in the woods all by yourself, and you're not going to get, I don't think we got lunch. I know we didn't get supper that night. You're going to fast, and you're going to pray, and you're going to be by yourself an alone day, and we have some papers for you to fill out. And I was smitten in my heart. I felt guilty. I wasn't thankful. It had been a nice day, and I hadn't been thankful at all. And I couldn't wait to start thinking about what was wrong with where I was at. And so when everybody stopped and they said, who wants to get off here? I said, me. And they gave me a sheet of plastic, and I had a sleeping bag, and I made the worst possible tent you could ever make, and that is to lay the sheet of plastic down on the ground, put your sleeping bag on it, and fold it over like a sandwich, all right? I hoped that would keep me dry. Well, it didn't work, but anyhow, all right? I didn't care. I wanted to get right, and I crawled under that thing, and I started to fill out my paper, and it talked about, how's your relationship with your dad? What's going on here? And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And I was sorry. I was sorry for my sin. I was sorry for being self-righteous. I was sorry for being arrogant. I was so sorry. And then we had our Bibles along, too. I felt peace. And I began to work my way through. And I read my Bible, and I prayed, and I was happy because God brought me peace and joy. I was hungry, I was tired, I was sorry, and I felt a release of peace that was heavenly. That shelter was horrible. It rained again, and I got wet. It was damp. But I was underneath that thing, and the rain was beating down, and it was different. Now I had repented. I had peace. I was going to be different. And the next morning, I woke up. I didn't sleep so good because it was terrible. I guess that was a terrible idea. And I woke up the next morning, and I walked and walked and walked to stay warm and also just to think and plan for how I was going to be different. I didn't know yet how much I would walk through because of foolish but well-intentioned actions or how the Lord would lead me to maturity, but I knew my life had accelerated, my spiritual life accelerated due to repentance. Was my relationship with my father magically healed? No. No, it wasn't. Yet, something had changed. My sister said when I came back, I didn't fight with them like I used to. Right? Something had changed due to repentance. And so, I'm holding that out for us, for you, and for everybody you meet. It sounds cruel to say, for all have sinned. But there's real joy in that because all can come to Jesus after that. Okay? That's why it's so exciting. That's why it's so delicious that, man, we all have sinned. But, man, you can get deliverance like I had deliverance. All right? I'm no better than you, but I found hope. So, there is hope in this saying, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Why? There is hope because I am one of the all sinners. So are you. And I have found peace. And I have helped, I've found hope. And you can too. All right? We are not stuck. We still have to pay the penalties. Sometimes there are patterns in my life and in my heart that if I had known what I was going to go through, I don't know if I would have gone down those paths. I thought that with years, a couple years of righteous living, I could wipe away those evil patterns. And that's not how it works, folks. It's not how it works. Those stuff is with you for, you know, the rest of your life. You still have things that are easy to run down because you started that. But God has given peace. He has given hope. He has given strength to live righteously. Number two, why is there hope in this saying, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Number two, If you can enter this bitter and narrow gate, and it is a small gate to fit through. You can't take your sins with you. You can't take your pride with you. You can't take your coolness with you. You can't take nothing with you. You have to go down through that gate all by your lonesome, and you have to let it all go, all right? It is a narrow road. It is a small road. It is a kind of windy road. There's just nothing, there's no way you can keep all your stuff that you were before. But there's freedom and peace on the other side of that gate. You are no longer an outcast. You no longer have a guilty conscience. You're no longer waiting under the wrath of God, glad for every day that the Lord doesn't come back. You don't have that anymore. You don't worry about that no more, okay? You're happy. There's blessed and joyful, happy position. We are sons and daughters of God. Praise the Lord, all right? That's why we say, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Number three, we can join fellowship with the multitudes of sinners throughout the centuries who have found peace and freedom. In our hearts, we can get in line with the rest of those sinners at that river. So John the Baptist stood in the river and called for people to come down and get baptized and repent of their former sins, and people got in line to respond. All right? They made a public declaration, I am done with my old life, and I want to start over with a new life. I'm not going to do the old stuff I used to do anymore. I'm done. And who's in line? Jesus. He's in line to get baptized the same as everybody else. No wonder John had a conniption when he saw him there, all right? What a humiliating thing for Jesus to do. We also get in line with all these people. We get in line with the thief on the cross. We get in line with Peter. We get in line with all these people, the centurion, the jailer. We get in line with all these people. There's actually a lot of great people we're getting in line with. We're admitting with them, I am a sinner. I have fallen short of the glory of God. We can walk in new ways with God. He longs for his wayward children to simply admit this truth as a start. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? Well, I didn't know how long my sermon was going to last. And I am done. But I want you to know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that we can find repentance and salvation. And he is glad to see his children grab onto that truth and go with it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the truth in your word. I thank you for your heart and your message of salvation to each one of us. Thank you for the old truths that continue to bring us joy, continue to bring us life. May each one of us walk out today knowing that repentance is possible for us and also possible for every single person we meet on the street. May we hold that hope and not jam it down people's throat, but offer it to people where we see the opportunity to plant that seed. In Jesus' name, amen.